Well, good morning, everybody. Everybody all right? Excellent. A couple of things before we move forward. Today is our memorization Sunday. So those of you that have been working on memory verses, get yourself ready to get those out there. One of the things that I wanted to draw your attention to, obviously, is we had a good crew in here setting up this morning in chairs during the 9 o'clock hour. The singles class came in and made quick work of things here. Excellent job for them. Remember who's next and keep that that rolling. I want to make sure it's on here because I did not look at this. Yes, family mission trip on here. Dates have changed. That moved back a week. So take a look at that and make plans accordingly. How many of you got your connection card this morning? Oh, that means a bunch of you threw them away already. On that connection card, there are some picks. Those picks change. Those are designed so that our folks here can take a look at that and see what is needed and begin to pray in earnest about those needs. That's a part of the reason for that connection card, not as a bookmark, not as a piece of scrap paper for whatever. It is intended for a purpose, so I would encourage you and challenge you and exhort you to use it for the purpose for which it is intended. For those of you that are our guests here this morning, that has a different purpose. Purpose is to get us to allow us to get to know you a little better, in order that you might get to know us a little better with that. And so, in order to encourage you to fill that out, we give a free gift for that after the service every week. And this week we're giving away some wonderful, beautiful T-shirts. And so we'd encourage you to fill that out, trade it in directly, one for one, one card for one T-shirt. And that's all there is to it. So make sure you go out by the welcome wagon and get that taken care of today. So we're going to move over into a piece here. You bear with us. We've been doing some challenging to get some folks to do some memorization of the Word of God. My Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this is one of the reasons that we want to make sure that we get about the business of putting out the Word of God and hiding it in our hearts. Amen? There was a young fellow that went to see his mom, hadn't seen her in a while, and when he went into the house, he saw that she had lost a ton of weight and was encouraged, man. And he told his mom, said, "Mama, you look great." He said, "Everything seems to be going real well here, and you look good and healthy and everything." She said, what is the secret to your weight loss here?" And she said, "Yeah, well, it wasn't that hard." She said, "Just every night at 6 o'clock, I have your daddy lock up my teeth." What? Giving us this day our daily bread is more than buttercrust. All right? It's more than buttercrust bread. It's more than wafers that float down from heaven in order to sustain these physical bodies. Giving us our daily bread is talking about getting life. Getting life from a heavenly source. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to have that relationship and to receive that life, that daily sustenance from the Word of God. One of the passages that I've been working on here lately, I'm only going to give the first verse of that here this morning, so that I can defer to those that have worked diligently. But my particular passage starts in 1 John 1 in verse 1. And it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled of the word of life." Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that one of the ways of handling this word of life is through His Word. That you get into that Word and there you find out who He is. And when you find out who He is, it'll show you who you are in relation to who He is. So now, we want to give opportunity for those that have worked so diligently and so hard. I know what happens. You get into a room like this and all of a sudden, your mind goes blank. And that's okay. That's all right. We'll just keep plugging away. Just keep working on it. So this morning, who's got some memory verses that they'd like to share with us that you've been working on? All right, ladies, head to them, head to them, head to them. Here we go. We'll start in the front and go to the back. One at a time.
Jeremiah 32:17. May I explain where I got these?
No, ma'am.
No.
We don't have time for all that this morning.
All right. Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 27 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. And then Genesis 18:14. There is nothing too hard for me. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and in the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Luke 1:37. For there is nothing impossible with God. Matthew 19:26, and Jesus beheld them, saying, with men this is impossible, with God nothing is impossible.
Yeah.
Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, there is nothing impossible with thee. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's not right, but it's close. And then Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things, in that which God cannot lie, we might have a strong consolation. I got it.
Amen.
That those we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well done. Well done. Go to the back. Keep going back.
Mm-hmm. Mine is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations.
Amen. Well done. Well done.
I only have one, Isaiah 46:4. And even in your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you.
Amen.
Am I next?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say one thing about this passage. I've been memorizing scripture for several decades and enjoy doing it and love doing it, but this has by far been the most difficult passage for me. The fact that I'm closing in on 100 probably has something to do with it. But I want to recite Psalm 32, and I do have it written on a piece of paper in my pocket. If I hit a stone wall to where I simply can't continue, I'll have to look. Please don't condemn me. Just think, well, old Larry's got some more work to do. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I'm sorry, I've said this a number of times, and sometimes I go right through it, other times not. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. While I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For thy hand was heavy, day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this, everyone that is godly shall pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. For surely floods of great waters shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me round about with songs of deliverance. I will with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee, I will teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not ye as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be kept in by bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall come unto the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass thee round about. Be glad in the Lord, ye righteous. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And I don't remember the next phrase. The last phrase is, all ye that are upright in heart. Sorry.
Shout for joy, brother. Shout for joy. Amen. Shout for joy. Yes, sir.
Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 9. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, and time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, and a time to heal. Time to break down, and a time to build up. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to sow. Time to keep silence and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?
Amen. Well done. Amen. Well done. Okay, girl. There you go. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13.
I'm a little nervous, but in case anyone ever falls into hard times, this is a verse that's been true in my life and kind of helped me through a lot. But Romans 5, 1 through 15. Therefore, being now justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And so death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift, which is for if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Amen. Well done. Lisa.
The Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, Ephesians 3:13-21. I titled it, To Know the Love of Christ. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've titled it, The Way of Love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, is not easily provoked, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Yes.
Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Amen. Well done. Amen. Well done.
I'm doing Psalm 148, and it's about creation, praising God. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in all heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people. Praise all his godly ones, even the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well done. Well done.
Brother Brett, those are three acts that are hard to follow.
Amen.
I've chosen Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. A couple of these verses I've memorized before, but this is the first time for all 12 of them. My son, do not forget my teachings, but hide my psalms in your heart. For length of days and years of life and peace will be added unto you. Do not leave kindness and truth. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil, for it will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overfilled with new wine. My son, do not reject the Lord's discipline, nor loathe his wrath. For whom the Lord loveth, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights.
Amen. Well done. Okay. Is there anyone else over here? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I chose the Romans road to salvation. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10. Sorry. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen, and well done. Amen, well done. I feel a little bit like a papa. When their youngin' gets out there and does something really cool and good. Huh? That's like music to me, to hear the sheep of this flock to recite the pure word of God. It's music like music that gets that you don't pay attention to, but I do when people flip through that Bible, going to a passage after passage as we preach. As you flip through that, that's music to my ear. That you're using that word, and that word is going in and having an effect on your life. How many of you glad you went through the exercise? Huh? I mean, you're glad to see someone that went through the exercise this morning. Excellent. Excellent. Now, we've taken a good bit of time this morning, and some would say, my, we just wasted the whole hour. Well, I look at it differently, completely differently, because any time that we bring the Word of God out into the open, I can already tell you that it ministered to me to see what has been ministering to you. And your excitement and your what it's working in you. It's marvelous. There's no other thing. There's no other thing that encourages me as much as that does. Okay? And so if you've not made it a habit to get into the Word of God in this manner, please get started somewhere. Amen. Get started with one little old bitty place and go from there. And once you get one under your belt, you can get another one and another one. I don't think there's anybody that's got it all memorized yet, right? Huh? There's still work to do. There's still work to do, okay? So let's stay with it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's the way to do it right there. I'm going to abbreviate my remarks this morning as much as I can, okay? If you have to get home before dark, I understand. Just do it quietly as you exit there, so that we don't disturb everyone with all that's taking place. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 18. I'm going to make a point out of what we just went through. The point of the exercise. One of the points of the exercise here. Okay. And so in Acts chapter 17, I looked down at the one that I was sitting on. Acts 17. And the passage that we have here is of Paul up on Mars Hill, and you'll recognize it right away. I'm only going to read two verses here, but I'll try to give you a gist of it very briefly and quickly, and then move on to the points that I'd like to try to make. In verse 23, let me go to verse 16. Verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What happened is that he went into the city there, and he found thousands and thousands and thousands of idols that have been erected to different deities. And it broke his heart. That's what it's talking about when it says it stirred his heart. It says that when he went into that place and looked at all of these idols sitting there that someone was bowing down to, it broke his heart. It stirred him up on the inside. It stirred his emotions and stirred him to the point of wanting to do something about it. Go to verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He says, I saw this one. It says to an unknown God, in case they missed one, right? He says, that one I'm going to declare to you because you obviously do not know him. He is an unknown God to you as evidenced by the fact that you're worshiping everything under creation. Now the next piece of that, he goes into creation. The next few verses he talks about creation and how creation reveals God. How you cannot look at creation without understanding that there's a maker, that there's a sovereign that is in charge of the design and in charge of bringing these things about. He goes on down to verse 30. He goes through God in creation, goes to verse 30, which is kind of where I wanted to kind of pivot on right here. And it says, and the times of this ignorance, remember what he said, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. He says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He said, there was a time before the plan was fulfilled that I didn't look as intently at things as I do now. But the truth has been told. And the truth has come. And the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary to pay for the sin debt of an entire world. And he said, the time has now passed. There's a God in creation and now there is an opportunity for repentance. God's not going to look on this and wink at the way that you're going about these things ignorantly anymore because the truth can be known. The truth can be told and known. He's not going to look the other. He's not going to wink at your ignorance any longer. The truth is out here. So the creation shows God. It also goes on to say that there is a Redeemer that has showed up that showed God. The next verse tells us that that same one's going to judge. That there's a time of judgment that is coming with all of this. How many of you have heard the term agnostic? Do you know any agnostics? I've known several that have claimed to be agnostic. The word agnostic, gnosis, knowledge, and any time in the Greek you put an A in front of that, means that you're not that. Not knowledge. No knowledge. Agnostic. No knowledge. When you admit to being an agnostic, what you're admitting to being is stupid. That's the literal translation there. It's an admission of being stupid. No knowledge. I have no knowledge. Whose fault is it that you have no knowledge? Huh? See, God has revealed himself in his creation. God revealed himself through his Redeemer. And God will reveal himself in the end as the judge, the righteous judge of all. You see, to claim to be an agnostic is to claim to be stupid. I'd be careful with the terms that we use sometimes and what we admit to. Huh? Repentance, verse 30 here, repentance that it talks about here is the initial repentance in salvation. And what that's talking about is that repentance is basically the birth canal. We understand that we must be born again, right? Born once is one thing, but to be born again, repentance is the birth canal through which a man is birthed into the kingdom. Repentance is necessary for salvation. To be birthed into the kingdom means that we have repented, that we've turned by faith from our old life and turned by faith to Jesus Christ in a new life. Repentance beyond salvation is also a factor in the Christian life, whereby we refresh, renew our relationship so that we can continue on in the faith. There's an initial repentance and a secondary and ongoing method of repentance as well. We've been talking about that some in our study on Wednesday nights in Hebrews. If you've not been a party to that, I would encourage you to go out and get online and listen to what we have been going through there. We're going through a very pivotal passage there at present now. I would encourage you to go and take a look at that right there. Almost every house or home in America has a Bible. Would you agree? I've been to very few homes that did not have a Bible. In most instances, when I go into a home and we get into some type of soul-winning endeavor, I always ask the question, do you have a Bible? Most invariably, they'll tell me yes. I said, do you know where it is? Yes, I think so. Can you go get it? I like to show people from the Bible that they have laying there gathering dust what the Word of God says. I like to use their own Bible when I go into their home to share what God says about things. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. It's good that we all have one in our homes. The problem is that they are collecting dust. You know that a person that won't read is no better off than a person that can't read? Hello? A person that will not read is no better off than a person who cannot read. The result is going to be exactly the same. And so what I want to say this morning, in light of us going through an exercise in the Word of God and putting it out here with us, is simply this. If I could put a title to what the message is I want to relay today, please take offense if you need to. It's not cool to be stupid. It is not cool to be stupid about the Word of God. That's one of the least cool things I can think of. Matthew chapter 7. Let me share a verse out of that for us if I can. Matthew chapter 7, looking at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. If there was a place in the Word of God where there was an unfun fact, this is it. This is an unfun fact in the Word of God. That there are going to be many that are going to go through a broad way and lead to destruction. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What are the arguments that you've heard for folks talking about making it on their own? Oh, all of them wind up the same place. It's really just one God. It don't matter how you get to Him. I'm a good person. I'm good as you are. Broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there's going to be that go that way. It is not cool to be stupid. Hello? Many are going to go through a broad way because it's the path of least resistance. But what happens when you come through the broad way is that it narrows down. When you come through the broad way, it narrows down at some point at the end of this life and narrows down into a place called what? Hell. Broad is the way that funnels into a place called hell. I'm as good as anybody. I'll do what I want when I want to and how I want to do it. All roads lead to heaven anyway. Don't you know that? There's just one God. Everybody just calls Him by something different. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there will be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way to life. It's not cool to be agnostic. It's not cool to be stupid about the Word of God. The Word of God tells me that Jesus says that He's the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by Him. The Christian life is narrow at the beginning and broadens on the other end. Because as we go through this life and we follow the teachings of Christ, it opens up for us into liberty. Opens up into Christian liberty. It opens up into grace and opens up into mercy. But those that want to follow the broad way, I tell you this, it narrows in a hurry. It narrows in a hurry. narrows and funnels into a place called hell. God's not winking at ignorance anymore. He has sent His Son. His Son has done His work. Everything that could be done to affect your soul's salvation has been done, save one thing. And that one thing is you to surrender your life to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. The narrow way. It's only the narrow way that opens into a grand and wonderful way. Just as it's not cool to be stupid in the area of salvation, the same can be said for the area of sanctification and holiness. Now I got on those that haven't given Jesus a good hearing. Now I'm going to get on those that have and stop short. And it all goes back to the Word of God. It all goes back to the importance of the Word of God in our lives and for our lives. Being birthed into the kingdom is freedom, liberty to do, equipping to do right, because we want to do right. Sanctification is relational. Sanctification means that I have a relationship that began with Jesus Christ saving my soul, and now I have a relationship with Him. In light of that salvation that He's brought to my soul, I'm now serving Him because I love Him and because of what He has already done. Sanctification is relational. A good, solid relationship with the Lord that can only be grown and made alive through the teaching and preaching of His Word, which we bring into our lives, that makes our lives different, that causes us to be different people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some won't be sanctified. Won't be sanctified. Not that they can't, but that they won't, because they stay stupid. Won't listen to the Word of God. Won't listen to what He says. It's sad to watch Christians be in error. It's even sadder to watch Christians be led off into error because they don't know enough not to be led off into error. It's another piece of what we are and will be talking about in Hebrews on Wednesday night. It happens all around us. Folks being led off into error. Watch your TV on the religious channels and you see it. Visit churches around you and you will see it. You say, how do you know? You don't go visiting on Sundays, do you? No, I go visiting on Mondays. And Tuesdays, because a lot of these churches put their stuff online. A lot of folks being led off into error, they don't even know it, because they don't know enough about the Word of God to know that they're being led in the wrong direction. How about you? Me preaching about what's wrong with them out there sure is fun. But boy, it don't help us a bit, does it? Back in the days, the old cattle drives, folks would trail their cattle to the nearest railhead. Somewhere along that drive, early on, they would figure out that there were certain steers, that there were certain cows that were in that bunch that were leaders. And they had learned, those cowboys would, that if they would move those, if they would concentrate on them, the rest of them would follow. And so you wanted to make sure that that 20 or 30 or so that was always out front, always wanting to go the wrong place, that if you figured out who those were and you kept track and tabs on them and moved them in the proper direction, that you had something then. Everything else would fall in place. It didn't matter how many was behind them. They'd fall in place and follow them. When they'd get to the railhead, And they began to move those cattle through pen to pen to pen and onto rail cars to get to the slaughterhouses there. They had another one there. It was called a lead cow. And that lead cow knew the process and would be put into a pen full of them. They'd open a gate over here, and that cow go right to the gate, take them all right through it. Take them through the next gate. Take them through the next gate, and right up into those railroad cars where that cow turned right back around, come right out of there, and go back out into the stockyard. They'd shut them up, take them right down to the slaughterhouse. We used to have lead goats when we're shipping lambs and all kinds of good stuff with all of that. Lead goats. Big old billy goat. And that big old billy goat, we could just send him. Send him to the pen, and one pen to the next, and those sheep would follow right behind that old lead goat. We'd double-deck sheep in trailers, double and triple-deck them sometimes in those trailers, and that goat had to bend over. Would have to bend over, and his back would rub against the floor of the next floor above him there, and he'd take them sheep all the way to the front of that trailer and turn around and rub all the hair off the side of himself coming out the side while the rest of them was filing in. He'd rub out and come right back out in there and go to eating. Lead goats and lead cows. We also called them something else. We called them Judas goats. Called them Judas cows because they led many to destruction. Judas looked like one of you. Looked like one of you. Act like one of you. But then take you to some place that you didn't want to go for a lot longer than you wanted to be there. A Judas. John. Let me go to Psalm 41 for just a minute. Psalm 41. Let me just travel. You listen. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Prophecy. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Who do you think that's talking about? That's old Judas. Alive and well in the Old Testament. Being pointed to by the words of prophecy. Go over to John chapter 6 for just a minute, or just listen while I get there. Now, if you want to check me out, you go ahead. If you're a good flipper and a quick flipper, flip. John chapter 6, verse 70. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. Acts, where we started, but only over in the first chapter of Acts. Look what it says there, 25th verse. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas came from his own place and went back to his own place. That's what that's kind of talking about. There's a whole bunch of Judases around us today. There's a lot of Judas in our religious circles today, men and women that are leading the unsuspecting into hell, and it amazes me that people are so willing to follow blindly, folks like this, some man, some woman, rather than righteousness, rather than truth. It amazes me at the ignorance of Christians. It amazes me of the stupidity of Christians. Psalm 119, verses 9, 10, and 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Why the exercise that we just went through? That we might not sin against him. That we might be equipped, that we might know what the mind of God is. That we might know what the heart of God is. that we might not have to flounder around and have a Judas lead us to some place that we ought not to go. John 17, my brother prayed it in his prayer this morning as we opened up. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, he says. Sanctify them. That means set them apart. Make them different. Make them holy. Set them apart to God. That's relational. Relational again. Experiential again. It's talking about consecrating. To be consecrated is to be able to fill the hand of God. You must be consecrated in order to fill the hand of God. F-I-L-L. God cannot use anything that is not holy. He wants to use us. He desires to use you. But we are unable to fill His hand because we are not consecrated. Why are we not consecrated? Because we do not know the Word of God and because we do not adhere and obey the Word of God. Justified. That's where it starts. Being saved. Friend, it don't stop there. The next part is sanctification. Being freed from the power of sin in our daily lives. The process of being freed means that we must be about the process of being sanctified. How are we sanctified? With truth. Where does truth come from? From the Word of God. To be sanctified means to be immersed in the Word of God. It means to be obedient to the Word of God. It is not cool to be stupid. Hebrews talks about it being those that are unskillful, unskilled in the Word of God. God's not winking at ignorance anymore. He's not winking at our ignorance. He has wonderful and good things and good gifts for His children. He needs His children to wake up. John chapter 10, I'm going to close with one verse here. Two verses here. John chapter 10. Great passage, the entirety of the 10th chapter. I mean, you can't go wrong in any of John. Flip open a page, you can't go wrong in the book. Kick open a book, you can't go wrong. Start there. 27th verse. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me clue you in. Judas ain't following him. Judas ain't following the Lord. You get in behind Judas, you're going to go the wrong way. You need to get in behind the one whose voice is speaking here. And the only way you're going to be able to understand or hear His voice is to be familiar with His voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Follow the right one. Follow the right way. How do we go about that? You better get it with the standard. You better find out. You better get it settled down about what the Word of God is. Is it the Word of God? Is it the Word of life for you? It is whether you believe it or not. And so the whole exercise this morning just points down to one thing. Points down to that one thing. How serious are you about the things of God? How serious are you about the things of God? Who are you following? Huh? What are you measuring things against in your life? What's your measuring stick? Your fellow man? Or is it the standard of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the standard of life? There it is. How many of you born again here this morning? Praise God. There's a whole bunch of you here. Been saved and you know it. I mean, any doubt in your mind this morning? Huh? If there is, you ought to get that settled today. If you've got a doubt about it, you ought to get that settled, because you can't go forward anywhere if you're going to be a double-minded man. If you're going to be double-minded, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. Huh? You got to be myopic. You got to be headed in one direction with one goal in mind, and that's to please and serve a sovereign God. If that's not your goal this morning, then you need to get your want to fixed. There's a difference in want to and can't, right? Get your want to fixed. That's sanctification. Get your want to fixed this morning. I suspect that there's some here this morning that have never made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Room this full? I can't help but believe that there's somebody here that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. And I'd say to you this morning, there is a broad way. And if you've not made your decision for Christ, you're on it. And until you make a conscious decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, that narrow way will elude you. And so it's been presented to you this morning. The narrow way is Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf. So I'd encourage you to latch on to the truth this morning. Latch on to the truth of salvation this morning. And come with both feet and jump in. From there, we grow. We move. And the narrow way becomes very broad. The narrow way becomes liberty. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom to love. Freedom to be. Freedom to serve. With all of our heart. Where you at? Where you at this morning? Answer it honestly between you and the Lord. Let's stand for prayer.